Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to this 46th episode of Step Into the Light on this Tuesday morning, February 21st. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Social media has become a major form of communication among people of all ages around the world. Political comments, from tweets by our highest government officials to Facebook posts by our neighbors and our communities, have sparked anger, frustration, hostility, and ridicule in recent months. It seems the words we are confronted with on a daily basis only serve to widen the divisions between us. How are we as Christians called to respond to all the negativity? Should we jump into the midst of the fray or stay out of it altogether? My guest today, Edie Melson, is a leading professional within the publishing industry. She travels to numerous conferences as a popular keynote speaker and is a writing instructor and mentor. Her best-selling ebook has been expanded and re-released as Connections, Social Media and Networking Techniques for Writers. She serves as the social media director for Southern Writers Magazine and social media mentor for My Book Therapy. She reaches thousands each month with her popular industry blog, The Right Conversation, and her social media presence on Twitter and Facebook. Edie is the author of 4 books, to include her debut novel entitled Alone and 2 books of prayers, While My Child Is Away and While My Soldier Serves. Good morning and welcome to the show, Edie.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. I'm so excited. As if you may remember, you and I did a show way back when I was doing another show with a partner. I believe it was in March of 2015.
It was. I was really excited to come back on with you.
Well, I'm glad to have you. And there were, I see you've made a couple of career, pretty much the same, but you've also added some things to your repertoire since then, which I'm not surprised. But Edie, I do know you have your Right Conversation blog, and I think that's where I actually first made connection with you, was on that blog. And you have a huge presence on Facebook and Twitter. So tell us, did you start doing Facebook when you were about 12?
No, as a matter of fact, I'm like the majority of writers out there. I came kicking and screaming into the social media universe. Back in 2008 and 2009, I got my dream job. I became the managing editor of an online magazine for young Christian men. And as the mother of young Christian men who were college age, I was very excited about this opportunity. So I go waltzing into work my first day on a Wednesday, and within about 10 minutes, I discovered that the only way these young Christian men interacted with each other was through social media. I had a Facebook account, but I hadn't done much with it. I didn't even know what Twitter was, and I found myself at a total loss. And so I always go to my husband for all things computer, and you did social media over the computer. So I assumed he would know how to do it. Makes sense, right?
Exactly.
But he was very patient about digging out information and helping me. And on that Friday, he took me out to dinner to celebrate my accomplishment of getting this job. And he told me how proud he was of me. He said, but, and I knew then I was in trouble. He said, as long as I answer your questions and find the information for you, you're not going to learn how to do this social media thing. So I'm not going to answer another question. I'm going to show you where to get the information yourself or where to find it, but I'm not answering any more questions. So 3 days later, after the bruises had faded, his, not mine, I figured something out myself, and within a month, I was able to come up to speed well enough not only to communicate but to lead this team and to help mold our social media image for this online magazine. And I realized that what I learned during that time, kind of a boot camp, was I learned how to do social media effectively and efficiently and without a whole lot of time investment. And so that is how I, that is basically my viewpoint on social media. Is it's a tool, but we don't need to spend a lot of time on it, but we need to be consistent and we need to stay engaged.
Well, I must not have learned much because I went back and listened to your show from last time and I still don't get it as far as time. To me, I find both very, very time consuming, and you and I can talk about that more privately at some point, but I'm just not into it like I should be. I'm really not. It, I just find it very cumbersome, and I don't know. So I'm glad there's people out there that use it to their advantage. And your primary social media venues are Facebook and Twitter. Is that correct, Edie, or have you kind of branched out into others as well?
Those are my foundation. But I also love Instagram. And so I do a lot of things on Instagram.
Okay. And to me, I thought Instagram was more like for kids to share pictures and things. That goes to show what I know.
It is, but you can utilize that as part of your online platform and find connections with people through that medium. I think the biggest thing about social media that most people miss is it's not advertising. It is a way to make real connections without the boundaries without physical boundaries getting in the way. I have some very close friends of mine that I've never met, but started on social media, and now we interact through emails and through Skype and Zoom and different things like that.
Yeah, I can understand that. I've brought a couple of people to the show that I met through social media. So, yeah, I do understand where you're coming from there. But as far as marketing, a marketing tool, do you see Facebook and Twitter as the most effective or not necessarily?
No, I definitely see them as the most effective for about 99% of the authors and even ministry leaders and businesses out there. And the reason is because you can find almost 100% of your audience is on those two networks. And if you're not going to do one or the other, you're going to have to pick up several other networks and several other avenues to make up for the lack of one of those two. And so even though we might disagree with the theory behind either one of those networks or we don't quite understand the connections, it is still important to go through the motions. And what I find happens with my clients almost 100% of the time is when they start practicing what I show them how to do, even if they don't quite understand it, it becomes clear to them and they begin making those connections and they begin to see the value and actually the joy of being able to reach a different audience without having to be limited by physical location.
Well, suppose you have a, and, you know, I don't always on the show, I don't think we always have just writers. I mean, I'm not saying just writers. Writers are wonderful people, but I don't think we have only writers in our audience. So I kind of like to sometimes gear the show towards people that are not writers. So what are the advantages? Suppose you have a person who is a pre-published writer, or you even have a person who is contemplating maybe starting a business. What are the advantages of establishing social media before you are established in your chosen interest or field or profession or whatever that you want to get out there?
The value of it is that you already have an audience that you can share information to. If you wait until after you have a product you're trying to advertise, then your whole approach to social media ends up being different. And so what we want to do on social media is we want to honor the reason people are on social media, and that is to build connections and relationships. And so we build those connections and relationships first, and we pour into that audience, and we give to that audience, and we become a valuable part of the community that we've built. And then after that fact, we can ask them to share something of ours that might be more advertising in nature. And they will do that because we've already built that trust and we've already built that relationship. But if we begin with asking for advertising first, then they have no reason to trust us or believe in what we're sharing.
Well, that makes perfect sense. Well, Edie, in recent weeks, Facebook and Twitter, and I'm sure all of the other social media venues that I really don't use, they have just been full of comments about the political environment. It's been an issue since way back before the election, even. And what I would like to talk about with you today, among other things, is what kind of conduct should we as Christians demonstrate when responding to negative political comments? Or should we respond at all?
Well, in the first place, we need to kind of realize particularly how Facebook does business. And Facebook has been the worst offender for a lot of people. I have talked to literally hundreds of people who have said, I'm just fed up. I have to turn it off because I can't stand all of the harassment and negativity that's on there. But the fact is, part of that is our own problem, because Facebook has something called an edge rank algorithm. And that is Facebook's way of determining what shows up in your news feed on a daily basis. And there are two sides of that. The first side is from the person posting. Facebook looks at the person who put up the social media update, and they try to decide whether or not the update or the algorithm decides whether or not the update has value and will garner comments and interactions based on similar things by this particular poster. Okay, the other side of that is the people that they could possibly send it out to. And so what they're looking at, in my instance, before they show me a post, they're looking at several things. The algorithm evaluates whether or not I have commented on a post like that in the past, whether or not I have liked or disliked a post like that in the past, and whether or not I have shared a post like that in the past or have authored a similar post. And if the answer is no to all of those things, chances are it will not show up in my newsfeed. So as a believer, when I am engaging and interacting with all of these political posts, then my newsfeed blows up. And so the more I interact with those posts, the more those types of posts show up in my newsfeed. Okay? Now, that brings us to a larger question as to whether or not as believers we should or should not be engaging in this type of a post. And I know a lot of people struggle with this, and I think it is a very, very private, personal matter and something that we need to decide from leading of the Holy Spirit as what they could do, whether they should interact. So my viewpoint is this. My Facebook is set to public. That means anyone and everyone can see it. The people who see it aren't necessarily my close personal friends who already know my heart and know my intentions when I say something. These are strangers who only have my picture and some random updates with which to judge my meaning. Okay? My personal friends and I, my family and I, even people that I interact with in person who see me on a regular basis can debate and disagree because we already have a foundation. We have a shared context. We have a level of trust. And so that makes sharing difficult things in a loving way possible. I am very skeptical that I can share difficult things in a loving way with complete strangers who can only see my picture and words on a page.
Yes.
So I can share with my friends and with those that I share context with difficult things are things that would be considered inflammatory because I have that background. But when I share controversial things on Facebook and I make comments, even well-meaning comments, sometimes it comes across like a person standing on a street corner shouting at the top of their lungs, everybody is going to hell. And so, I mean, seriously, think about that.
I hear you.
Many believers that are comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think Jesus has called us to show love to the world and to build relationships. And I think it's up to the Holy Spirit to do the convicting, not me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never talk about controversial things in a public arena. I just don't, because there's no context. And
yeah.
So I think that there may be people who are called to do that, and I think that is perfectly fine. But I am not. And what I want to do is I want to be part of showing grace and love and mercy, and I want to be the side that listens when it comes to things like this. But I don't want to listen to all these political arguments, so I don't
mm-hmm.
ever get involved. Does that make sense to you, Patty?
Yes, it does. And it also explains to me why, to be honest, Edie, I don't see a whole lot of this political stuff on Facebook. And that's probably why. The only reason I even got involved was because friends of mine have said, did you see what such and such posted on their wall? And I went and looked. And I, you know, I have relatives too who are very much the opposite, you know, of me politically. And somebody will say, oh, did you see what so and so put on there? No, I didn't. Let me go check it out. But I usually don't respond. And that's probably why I'm not getting a lot of this stuff on my
page.
That's
exactly why. That is
okay.
Exactly why. Now, there are people who want to write in the political arena. They want to go into government positions. They have reasons to engage in this kind of battle. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not speaking to those types of people. Those people have a different calling, if you will, a different message to share. And
mm-hmm.
I have good friends who are political commentators, and I do read their stuff, but I
yeah.
still don't engage simply because I am not called to be a political commentator.
Yes, and see, a friend and I talked about that just the other day because I said, you know, sometimes I feel kind of guilty, like maybe I should be expressing my opinion here from a Christian worldview, and this person brought up to me the fact that a lot of these people, well, I'm thinking of people that are in the public eye, you know, that express their opinions. They have a whole team that works with them and that does all this research. If I put something out there, I'd have nothing to back it up because research politics enough to know what in the world I'm talking about a lot of the time. So I can express opinions. But when it comes to somebody saying, well, you know, so-and-so back in 1980 did this, I'd have to say, okay, because I would have no idea, you know. So I'm very careful about putting something on there that I can't back up. If somebody did come back
with
an argument, you know. And not only that, but to me, that is not the purpose, if you will, of my Facebook and Twitter. I may be going about it in the wrong way, but my purpose with Facebook and Twitter is to promote other writers. And put those feel-good posts on, you know, like today, somebody, I just saw one before I came on the show that said today is something about Love God Day or something. I can't remember what it even is. But I thought, oh, you know, I'll probably share that on my wall and things like that, or things about prayer or whatever. You know, I'll put them up. I have no idea how to obtain them myself. I have to go to somebody else's page and find it because I don't know how the heck to research this stuff and come up with all these neat sayings that everybody else does. So I share with my writer friends.
Well, I think to jump in on something you said. You said you didn't know if you were doing it wrong or not. I don't think there is a wrong way to do it. I think there are different ways to do it. And I think that we're not all asked to be the same person on social media just simply because we're believers. I think we all have a variety of things that God is asking us to do with our lives, and I think we need to honor that and not worry about whether we're doing it right or whether we're doing it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, do you know Marlene Bagnell from Colorado Christian and Greater Philly Writers Conference? I have, I guess I must have a notification for her page because whenever she posts, I get her information. Now, she puts up some really neat articles and things like that that I'll sometimes share. And I don't mind other people putting things that link to an article, but I think what I have a problem with, and I've seen it a couple of times, is where someone puts up a statement that attacks a person. I can even see putting up a statement that says, I totally disagree with Joe Blow's political opinion on this. I think he's entirely wrong, and then they will explain why. That's fine. But to put on a statement that says Joe Blow is an idiot or something like that is something I have a hard time with.
Yep, I agree. And if you have friends and family that are regularly making those kind of inflammatory remarks, you also, Facebook has a really cool feature, and it's called See First. You remember in the good old days of Facebook when somebody would put something up, we'd see everybody's update in order of when they put it up. Everything came up, time, and everything. Well, those days are long gone. But if you go to somebody's profile and you click the arrow beside the follow button, a drop-down menu will appear, and it will have two options. It will have see first or default. And what you can do is you can choose up to 30 people, personal profiles, and as many public pages as you wish to see first in your newsfeed. And so you can actually populate your newsfeed with these positive, uplifting posts that you are looking for. And you can leave it on default for the people that maybe set your teeth on edge.
Oh, wow. I did not realize that, Edie.
It is a fantastic thing. A lot of us have complained long and hard about the Facebook EdgeRank algorithm, but in truth, it allows us to make it so that the people that we see in our newsfeed when we go to Facebook are really the information that we want to see.
We want. Wow, so you have to go to each individual person's profile, though, right, to do this?
No, when you go to somebody's profile and you click on See First, it will also bring up all of your friends, and you
can go through
and choose then. So,
awesome.
That's just the easiest way to get through it rather than trying to dig it out of your settings.
You
can only have 30 people, 30 personal profiles, but I have added as many pages, public pages, as I wanted to that list. So it is not, it doesn't keep me from doing that.
Oh, wow. That is neat. I did not know that. And you're right. I've been operating on the premise of what I learned when I first started with Facebook and not understanding why it wasn't working the way I thought it should. So.
Well, with the EdgeRank algorithm, let's say I put up a post, which I did back this time last year, of me signing a contract for my book that came out in July while my child is away. And a lot of people commented on that post, and they shared that post, and Facebook went, ooh, this is an interesting post. It's getting lots of movement. And so rather than just the small group that initially got to see it, Facebook enlarged the circle. So suddenly more people saw it, and those people commented on it and shared it and interacted with it. And Facebook went, wow, this is really good. And they showed it to a still bigger post. what ends up happening is a week after I first put up that post, it was still growing. And so there were people 7 days later who were seeing that post for the very first time in their newsfeed.
Wow.
So that's why things are showing up out of order.
Mm-hmm. Well, E, we're about halfway through our show, so I want to take a little break really quick and just make listeners aware. We sometimes have listeners who come into the show who didn't catch the first part and don't know who we are or what we're talking about. So I just want to make listeners aware that you are listening to Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is Edie Melson, who is known in the writing and publishing world as a social media expert. We're talking about social media and some of the pros and cons and how we handle some of the negative things that we see on especially Facebook happens to be our subject of discussion right now, and some of the ways that we can navigate around that. Edie is also an author, and we will be talking about a couple of her books here down the line. She has a Facebook presence and a Twitter presence, and she has an absolutely, if you have ever had any kind of interest in writing, blogging, anything along that line, you just have to check out her blog, which is called The Write Conversation, W-R-I-T-E Conversation, and I'm going to refer listeners to my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. And under the Blog Talk Radio tab there, you will find a website and social media page. And I will place the links to all of Edie's social media and her blog and her books and all that on that page. And you will find links actually to all of our guests' social media information. Also, I want to make listeners aware that if you did come in on a late part of the show and you'd like to hear the rest of it, or you'd like to hear it again, or you'd like to refer it to other folks, there's also an archived page there. Every one of our shows are on archive, so I invite you to come on over and listen to the shows at your convenience. So let's get back to Edie. Edie, I had another question in mind before we went to break, and do you think I can remember what it is now? It was based on something that you had said. Well, I hope it comes back to me. So anyway, go ahead.
One of the things that people often ask me is whether or not these negative comments that show up in my newsfeed, not negative comments, but negative posts, will show up in my newsfeed and it will offend people who are following me. Mm-hmm, and basically I tell them they will never see them unless your newsfeed is unique to you. It's all of the people that you follow and all of the people that the Facebook EdgeRank algorithm has decided you will be interested in seeing posts from. Everybody's newsfeed is unique. The only reason I would see something that showed up in your newsfeed is if you and I followed or were friends with the same person.
Oh, okay. Okay, I think I understand that now. Well, isn't there also a feature, Edie, that you can hide posts from people? Or is that
yes.
out the window as well?
Nope, you can hide posts from people, and Facebook does not notify the poster that their post has been hidden. So it's not inflammatory if you hide somebody's post. They will never know you hid it or not. And so I have done that on occasion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that once a really long time ago. Suppose you have a person that is constantly sending you negative comments that are like really personal. What do you think about the unfriending thing? How does that work?
Well, I will unfriend somebody if I consider they're inappropriate. I had a person that when I would share something, they would try to make it political or make a comment about it. And the first thing I did was I deleted their comment off of my post. And then I sent them a private message and said, These are the parameters that I use when I interact with people on Facebook, and I would ask that you would respect that when you're commenting on my post. Well, they did it several more times, and I would remove the comment each time, although I didn't send them another message. I figured one message was enough. I didn't want to get into a discussion with them.
Sure.
And I finally just unfriended them. But Facebook doesn't send you a notification if someone unfriends you. They can check and find out if
sure.
they have been unfriended, but they won't get any kind of notification. So I try to be respectful. I try to treat people, even people who are inflammatory, the way I would want to be treated, because I don't know their backstory usually. I don't know what has gone on in their lives that day, that morning, that month, or where the inflammatory remarks are coming from. And so I try to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I still have to set parameters as far as what I feel is appropriate. And if it makes me uncomfortable, it's inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Well, another question I wanted to ask, Edie, how responsible are we, and I would say we're very responsible, answering my own question here, for social media users, from a social media post that someone else puts on our wall?
If they post something on my wall and it is inappropriate, it would be like if somebody painted the front of my house with obscene graffiti. I would take
mm-hmm.
it down. Or inappropriate graffiti. Or they stuck a sign in my yard that I felt like was inappropriate. Again,
mm-hmm.
I would take it down. I would send them a private message explaining why I had done so. And if they continue to harass me, I would either block them or unfriend them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's true that Facebook, some folks have websites like you and I, but some folks don't. And for some people, Facebook is their cyber home.
And that's very dangerous, especially for an author or a writer, because
mm-hmm.
things change very quickly on Facebook. And where you might be able to reach 600 people one day, a slight change in the algorithm from the Facebook developers could make it so that you only reach 6 people the next day.
Yeah.
And that's why I tell people when I teach at these conferences and things, and this holds true for ministries, this holds true for businesses, you need to own your list. You need to have a place on the internet, like a blog or a website, where people sign up on a newsletter list or an email list of some kind, so that no matter what happens on social media, you still have access to those people, and they have given you permission to contact them through email.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Something else, this isn't really political, but something else I kind of try to steer away from on my page. You know, Facebook brings up your memories.
Yes.
And the other day it brought up one about how for the first time my husband and I came from the hospital, and he came home on his boom back machine. This started a whole series of events that lasted 4 years. But, you know, it was all about coming home from the hospital and public health coming in and all that. I didn't share that because I thought, you know, it's in the past, it's done. And the next day I knew was the anniversary of my mom's passing. And I did want to put something about that on there because so many people knew mom, you know, but I don't want to get my feed so cluttered with all of these sad things from the past that all people feel like they can do is say, oh, I'm so sorry, or, you know. I think you can get
that,
too much of that, too.
I think that's true. I think our social media persona, the people we are on social media, needs to reflect authentically who we are. I make
mm-hmm.
a lot of effort to make sure that if someone that I've met online through social media were to meet me in person, they wouldn't be surprised by the person I was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's very important to do. You also have to be really careful about memories. or things like that, because a lot of times people don't notice that it's a memory, and they will comment on it like it's real. And that just, that can cause all kinds of confusion. I actually shared a memory one time, and people totally didn't get it, so I just deleted that post from my wall because I was tired of trying to explain, this isn't today, this is a memory.
Yeah, I've called my daughter a time or two and said, oh, I'm so sorry, you had such a terrible day or whatever, you know. It's, Mom, look at it closer, that was 3 years ago. So, yeah, I know what you're saying. Well, Edie, as you know, the premise of this show is for folks to talk about a time when they were in a dark place and came back to light, or ways that they help bring people back to light. And I don't know if you wanted to share a particular dark time of yours. You're perfectly welcome to do that. But I also know that you have written a couple of books that definitely help bring people out of dark times.
I think for me, I try not to air my dark times on social media, kind of the same way that I don't air my political posts. But there have definitely been times in my writing journey. I had a writing contract fall apart at one point. And for me, I went from having two books coming out to having absolutely nothing and finding myself scrambling. And it just seemed like everything around me that I had built as far as my career went and built, just sort of toppled over. And I was left in the middle of nothing but rubble. And it was really a difficult time for me. And what I did is I reached out to some close friends and ask for prayer. And several of them came over and they prayed with me and they continued to pray for me. For me, prayer is foundational. It is where I go when life is good and when life is bad. And it is the one constant that I can always count on in my life to remain connected to God.
Yes, I agree there. Tell us about when you were on our last show, you had written a book called While My Soldier Serves, and I believe it was a book of prayers. Since we did that last show, you have published another book entitled While My Child Is Away. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
The premise of that book is that as parents, we have got to learn how to be prayer warriors for our children. I wasn't always comfortable with prayer. As a matter of fact, I was very uncomfortable with prayer. I didn't think my prayers were good enough. Mm-hmm. And I used to use prayer as a last resort. I would say things like, well, isn't there anything I can do, or do you just want me to pray? That was sort of my mindset. But through having a son in the military, I began to realize that this was not the court of last resort. This was the first line of defense in my battles for my children's welfare. And so I began expressing that through While My Soldier Served, and I began talking to my editor, and she said, well, why don't we do a book for people who have children who aren't in the military? And so the idea is, whether your child is facing the first day of school, or they're away at summer camp, or they're with a friend overnight for the first time, or learning how to drive, or maybe there's a divorce situation and they're with the other parent and we're concerned, or maybe you have a foster child that is no longer in your house and you want to still be active in being a parent to that child, well, prayer is where we go to do that. And so that's the premise of this book. And I have to tell you a funny story. I signed this contract, and 3 days later, my two oldest sons, who are experienced outdoorsmen, one of them has a degree in outdoor leadership, went on a very short afternoon kayaking trip on a calm, smooth river about an hour north of where we live. And while they were gone, a pop-up thunderstorm came, and they were struck by lightning.
Oh, my goodness.
They woke up 3 hours later. My oldest son was caught on a snag in the middle of the river by his life vest, face up, thank goodness.
My middle son
was on the bank with his dog beside him. They had been unconscious for 3 hours. And so that to me just showed me that it doesn't matter how old our children are or how young our children are. When they leave our presence as parents, we need to be praying for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's very manifest in my life. Edie, even though my kids are in their 30s, I have a son who has lived over in the UK for several years now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a long distance away. And, yeah, I mean, I always hold him and his family up in prayer because, you know, there's so many things that go on in their daily lives that I don't even have any idea of, you know, where they live or anything. I haven't been over there. So you know, usually when you picture your kids, you can picture their home environment and what their house looks like and their neighborhood and all this. I know absolutely none of that. So your kids are always going to be your kids. It doesn't matter if you're 85 and they're 65. You know,
that's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And even beyond the fact that we're doing it to protect our children and to help be an influence in their lives, praying for them on a regular basis always equips us for the times when difficulties come. I mean, our mm-hmm. prayers are sometimes not answered the way we want. But because we have that connection, because we spent that time in conversation with the Father, we have that ability, that strength to continue on even though things may not have turned out quite exactly how we wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, even my daughter, she lives right here in town, but, you know, even when she's away on a daily basis at work because she works for the Department of Corrections, you know, and
mm-hmm.
believe me, I cover her and her husband in prayer a lot.
Absolutely.
Because, you know,
absolutely.
Things get so volatile and you just never know what's going to happen in an environment like that. So, oh yeah. Yeah. Your child can be very close and still be away in so many ways. So I think that's a wonderful book, Edie. I may go ahead and order that one. I didn't have a soldier, so I didn't order the other, but and of course I have your connections book, which I need to study. Because I still, like I say, I still don't get it with the whole social media thing. This is the light bulb just isn't coming on for me. You entered yet another facet of the writing world, as though you already don't do enough. The things that I brought out in your introduction are only like about one quarter of what you actually do. You're just so involved in so many things. But you entered yet another facet of the writing world with your debut novel, which is very exciting. And the title of it is Alone. Sounds like a scary story. Tell us about it.
It's not a scary story, but it is a science fiction story. It's inspirational science fiction. And it's a story that has been in my heart for a long time. And the premise of the book is simply that this young woman named Bethany has grown up expecting to die for her faith on the world in which she lives. But when her world is invaded by a race of giants, and she's taken captive, she has to decide whether or not she's willing to live for her faith.
Wow. That sounds like an amazing book. Yes, you have certainly piqued my interest now. Well, that sounds like a great book. I'm curious to know what motivated you to, as we say, cross over from the nonfiction to the fiction writing.
Well, my dream early on when I was a child was to write novels. But God had a different plan. And so I've spent all of these years writing I've been doing freelance writing with writing articles and blog posts and blogging and all of these different things. And then I began writing nonfiction. And so this is really my first love is what I'm going back to. But now it's a twin love. I absolutely adore writing fiction. And I have some other things in the works right now that I've got people who are looking at. And then, but I also have more nonfiction because I love being able to connect with my audience and help them to find the voice that God gave them and to live out their own story.
Well, good for you. I'm excited that you're realizing that dream that you had when you were young. I'm the same way. I still have a couple of novels in progress, and I'm thinking of entering the Genesis for ACFW.
Oh, you definitely should.
Yeah, I just need to get that manuscript finished. It's almost there. And how many days do I have left? About 20?
Yeah, I think so.
They tell you your manuscript should be finished, so I really wouldn't want to, just send those 15 pages without knowing that I have the end written on that manuscript.
Yes,
and I've been working on it for a long time. So, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, Edie, you have really shared a wealth of information with us, and I want to thank you so much. And I wanted to ask you, are you by any chance teaching any of the ACFW courses again this year?
No, not this year. This year I'll be there as an attendee. I try to make sure that I go to at least one conference a year as a student so that I'm continuing my own education.
Good for you. Good for you. Excellent. All righty. Well, I want to thank you so much for your time, Edie. And do you have any closing thought that you would like to share before we say goodbye to our audience?
Well, I think the most important thing is that kind of a cliche, but a lot of times the people we meet on social media, we are the only Jesus that these people will ever see. And we have a unique we have a unique responsibility to represent him well. You know, the harsh things that Jesus had to say in the Bible were directed at the church, not at unbelievers.
Yes.
And I think we need to remember that, and I think we need to let God put the words on the page for us, rather than reacting in anger or frustration or in trying to convince somebody one way or the other. Conviction is the Holy Spirit's job, not ours.
Exactly. Okay, well, thank you so much, Edie, and you have a wonderful day. It's just been such a pleasure to visit with you this morning.
I have really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for letting me come on.
Okay, Edie, and I will be in touch because I have a couple of questions for you about more specific stuff about the social media and especially Twitter. So, all righty. For our listeners, I want to remind you before we close to go to my website. It will probably take me a little bit of time later today to get my information up because I have an appointment right after the show today. But by this evening, I will have Edie's information up on the site. So please go to pattysheene.com, pattisheene.com, and you connect with Edie and you will just have a wealth of information. She's just an amazing lady. So in closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Please join us next Tuesday, the 28th of February at 8 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. In the meantime, God bless you all.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings